Well, let's get a little gas from the Holy Spirit this morning. Father, we come before you, and we thank you that we have the warm building we can meet in, and we thank you we have vehicles that managed to make it here this morning, and we are thankful that you have provided and blessed us. Holy Spirit, we invite you to just come, and I'll use the word invade, this service. We invite you. You're welcome. You don't have to invade. You're here. We thank you for that. As we look into this topic of discipleship, Lord, I ask that we glean from you what you would have us glean this morning. And we ask this now in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, so I'm with you the next couple of weeks, and I get to share with you something that has been on my heart for years. And that is, let me see if I can get it to happen. I don't know, Rebecca. I'm having forwarding issues with PowerPoint. What was that? Try that. There we go. So we're calling this Discipleship 101, Being a Discipler. And this is part one. The word discipler is a Shannonism. It doesn't really exist. But it distinguishes the one who's being discipled from the one who's doing the teaching. Why are we looking at discipleship? Well, let me ask you this. Whoops. Oh, dear. I think. Sorry. Let me get here. What do you see here? Baby crib. What else? You ready? Is someone pregnant? Little bit. There's a baby bump there. So these people are doing what? Preparing for babies. And so that's one of the reasons that we're looking at discipleship. How many of us believe there are those that need to be saved? How many of us believe that we're in a season where we're going to see more come to the Lord than ever before? I'll tell you this. I'm here. I'm saying I believe that. And I believe that because we know that's coming, we need to be like these people who know the baby's coming. We need to be prepared. And one of the things that has been on my heart for years is the discipling of a new believer. So let's go backwards here. Acts 42-47. And in my Bible, it has a subtitle above it. It says, The Fellowship of the Believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those being saved. That's my heart, that we will see that happening daily, people coming to the Lord. Through who you reach out to, through who I reach out to, however the Lord chooses. And then we'll be bringing these new babes into our family. And we're preparing for that. Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some of them doubted. Isn't it amazing that even then they still doubted? Okay. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. So we have, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And then he reminds us, be sure of this, I'm always with you to the end of the age. So, here's what Jesus said. Go and make converts. Go and make disciples, not converts. And you know what I want to share with you? I think it's one of the biggest oversights the church has had over the past, I'm going to say 40 or 50 years, maybe longer, and that was a focus on just getting people saved. Not introduce, and then, you know, they'll do this. They'll bring them to church. They'll introduce them to a few people. Maybe they'll be a part of a Bible study. Maybe not. But we haven't been coming alongside them to disciple them. And if you have had that opportunity, praise God, because that's a good thing. I did. It was wonderful. And I'm not saying that it doesn't happen. I'm just saying it's been a big focus on evangelism and let's get people saved. But stop there. Kind of leave it up to everybody else. And we've been told to teach these new disciples and to obey all that Jesus commands us. And so that's what he says there, all that I've given you. The definition of discipling for me is this. Discipling is truth transferred through relationship. And again, sometimes we think it's more about study or whatever, but something happens in relationship. And we see even back in the book of Acts that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. It's about relationship. And it wasn't just a little bit. They ate together. They prayed together. And again, not that we don't do that. We try to do these things. But not just because Jesus said, but because we want to develop relationship. So, discipling is the truth transferred through relationship. So what is the goal of discipling here? The goal of discipling a new believer is to help that new believer develop their understanding through the Word of God and about God's good news of Jesus. Walking alongside them to help them become established disciples of Jesus. Again, sometimes it's about, you know, get them saved, get them in the church. Whew, we've done our job. But we want to come alongside. So, the goal of discipling is to help them develop a lifestyle. Then start, here's one of the things, to help them start a meaningful personal Bible study time, a lifestyle that includes that. I know many people who've come to the Lord and they've never developed that, never developed a personal time with Jesus. They may once in a while pick up something like the daily bread, and I mean once in a while. They don't follow through every day. And they may pray and that type of thing every now and again, but they haven't developed a lifestyle of getting into the Word of God. And so as we disciple, this is part of it, is helping them develop that. Both the new and mature believer need to use the Word of God, need to see the Word of God become real experiences in their day-to-day life that invades their world. Now, guess what? It doesn't often happen through the church service. It's church service is good and coming together, and there's lots of good things that happen, but it doesn't all happen. In fact, most of it does not happen at the church service. Sometimes it becomes very theological. And sometimes things happen there where what's being shared is misunderstood by who's hearing it. And often the message gets brought home or not brought home at all. I shouldn't say brought home, not brought home at all. And the Word of God never becomes relevant to them in their daily lives and in the lives of all of us believers. Which again is why a meaningful Bible study life is important, where they can take the Word, they can go into the scriptures at home and be like the Bereans and study the word that's been spoken, go back to the scriptures and say, is that what the word says? If that kind of lifestyle isn't developed in a believer, they'll find it really hard to apply the word of God to the practical settings of their life. Okay, so talking about discipleship, probably all of you say, I kind of know this stuff, but guess what? It's always good to have a review. We're talking about one-on-one discipleship, one-at-a-time discipleship, giving the new believer a chance to ask questions. I want to ask you, how many of you knew when you came to the Lord? Now, some of us came to the Lord as kids and whatever, and some of us as adults. And sometimes it's hard to ask questions in a group. I remember my very first Bible study. I'm sitting there, and I haven't got a clue what they're talking to. And they're turning to books in the Bible before I even can find it in the index. And and things are happening faster. And then what happens is they say something, and you're a little intimidated sitting in a group of people that know the word to ask your question. And some people don't have a problem with it, but sometimes, how many think I'm an extrovert a bit? I'm a little bit of an extrovert. But I had troubles asking questions. And so anyway, what we're looking at here is that time for one-on-one, that time where that person can ask their questions, or I just don't get this. One of my first experiences was I couldn't understand the question because I was looking in the wrong scripture. I went to the book of John knowing that there was a John 1, 2, and 3. And I was to go to John 1. So it didn't make sense. But little things like that. And I was grateful to be alone with the lady who was discipling me when I realized that, because I was a tiny bit embarrassed. Now, I didn't need to be, but I was. But it was nice to have that one-on-one to be able to work through these things. So one-on-one gives us an opportunity to not only ask for them to ask questions, but for us to get to know them as individuals. We get to talk and share share questions and ask questions. We get to know about their life, and they get to know about your life too. So what are the skills of a discipler? Aren't you glad you're a discipler? What are the skills of a discipler? And I want you to understand, as I list these, you can't say, oh, I'm not a discipler because I can't do that, or that's not me. We're not going to do that. We're all called to disciple. And some areas we need to develop, right? First thing is to be teachable. A good teacher can also be teachable. You don't know it all, for those of you who think you know it all. And for those that think you don't know enough, God can help you know enough. So again, we are all learning, and will always be learners. The next thing is, I don't know. There we go. To value the discipling process. Jesus called us all to be that. We need to value the idea of discipling somebody and being discipled. It is a good thing, and Jesus called us to do this. Here's the next thing. Be a good listener. Oh, my goodness. I heard it said recently, we have two ears and one mouth. And sometimes we need to use our ears. And when we're busy talking, we're not hearing what other people have to say. So a mentor is not there to pass off information, but to listen to the kinds of questions the disciple is making or is asking, and to make sure that you're not making decisions that only they should be making. Sometimes we're really quick to give them answers, give them direction, and we need to sometimes be quiet and let the Holy Spirit give us directions. So be good listeners. Yeah.
And when we interrupt people, when we interrupt people, we're actually not listening, because we're going ahead of them because we think we have the answers that they're going to ask, which interrupting is not good. And the Holy Spirit needs to help us.
Amen. I know I remember seeing on one of the doors of the dorm rooms of one of the girls in Bible college, and it said, "You're not listening to me if you're already formulating your answer." So to be a good listener. Now, the next thing is a conversational style of teaching. Right now, this is not a conversational style of teaching. I speak, you listen. But that's not what we're looking at in discipleship. We're looking at it to be a conversation. It's not meant, it doesn't mean, by the way, I don't know if it says this in here, it does not mean teaching is in a formal way, but conversation goes on. You lead them to the conclusion. So what does that mean? It means that somebody may have a question or an idea or a situation, and they're a little off, so we have a conversation. Well, why do you think that? Or how did you come to that understanding? Well, this is what Scripture says. How do you see that? How does that play out? Make it a conversation and help. Let the Holy Spirit help you, and let the Holy Spirit help them to come to the understanding of what's being shared and taught. Here is a really big one. No codependency. You are not there to meet your own needs, but to serve others. Now that sounds interesting. I'm going to pause there before you could be reading on. But you're not, one of the things is, I'm going to become a discipler. I'm going to disciple people because it makes me feel great. It makes me feel good. It's about me and that kind of thing. That's, can I share with you what that really is? That means you haven't got your identity secure in Jesus. Your identity is in Jesus, and you will be, you know, but you're doing it out of love and out of serving them. However, you should not be taking late night phone calls. You should not be taking inappropriate calls. If somebody needs in-depth counseling, you should be referring them. The best way to avoid codependency is to never do for a person what they can do for themselves. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, some people are in great need when they first come to the Lord. And with great compassion, we reach out to do things and to help them with things. Whoops. Which is great, but it can become codependent, and that is so not good, because that helps nobody in the end. So again, remembering, we're never going to do for a person what a person can do for themselves. The next one we want to look at here is model the life of a true disciple. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, "And you should follow my example, just as I follow Christ." So here's the thing, your life speaks louder than your words. You can't be living one way and teaching another. So as disciplers, we want to be the disciple that follows Jesus. Next here is prayer. A discipler, again, you can change it to mentor if you can't handle that word, realizes that only God can meet the real needs in the life of a disciple. A discipler mentor, you are encouraged to prepare with prayer as well as previewing the materials before you meet. Pray together when you meet, and pray for your disciple during the week before you meet again. And this is the marks of a successful mentor. Develop people skills. Some of us naturally have them. Other people do need to develop them, and that's okay. Because if there's a willingness to learn and develop more effective ways of communication, and you're willing to be teachable, hey, let's go for it. If you have questions or concerns, how do I handle something that's going on with somebody and I can't seem to come and ask questions? There's lots of people who can help. I can help, whatever. But ask your questions if you're struggling with a certain circumstance or question or whatever. But let's develop our people skills. How do we communicate with one another? Did you know there are several ways to ask a question? I'll maybe get into that a little more. You can ask somebody, what do you think? How do you feel? What do you see? And there, you know, some people are feelers. Some people are head people. Some people are very visual. There's several ways to ask a question. And sometimes it's just learning how to ask a question, especially if you're in a group of people. You're going to have multiple ways that people are going to receive or that. Anyhow, that's just a little bit of how to communicate and developing people skills. The next one is non-judgmental. Oh, my goodness. You are not there to approve or disapprove of the lifestyle of a new believer. The mentor's job is to give them the truth that they need to make good decisions. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit can do in the heart of a new believer. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit can do in the heart of an old believer. And sometimes that's the way we need to go. We can be too quick to judge and not quick enough to let the Holy Spirit step in. There, right? It's easy. Okay. Yes, Doris. Oh, you're going to ask me to pull it out of the... It is in the New Testament. So that would be Matthew 5. Yeah. In there. Yeah. 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 Okay. Okay. Oh, right. Is there anything else? Okay. Matthew 7:1. Okay, there we go. That's just, yeah. Is that all right? Okay. Matthew 7:1. We got that. Okay. Any questions about what I've shared so far? Any thoughts? Yes? This is... Oh, for sure. As a disciple, you will be praying and all that. We're just talking about the skills of the discipler. So that's just, if that helps, that this isn't negating that. This is just saying, when you're looking at being a discipler, mentor, this is what we want to look at. We don't want you to, I don't want people to be looking at, oh, shoot, I'm meeting with so-and-so tomorrow or tonight, and I haven't looked at the material, I haven't prayed for them or thought about them all week, okay? We want to get into, even in our lifestyle, a lifestyle that steps out into these things, and again, so that we're thinking about them during the week. Again, remember, we're trying to develop relationship, and part of that is praying for each other and praying for that. You bet, as a disciple, I hope you're praying and starting to do that. That's awesome. All right. Any other questions? Okay. Sure. Betty has a question. So, yeah. Betty, you're getting ahead of me into my message this morning.
Well,
just saying.
That does not forget.
Yes. 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 You are. Don't have to apologize. That is fabulous because it is true. It is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going away so that the Holy Spirit can come. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to say, in light of what we're doing right now, it's not discipling, because they're coming to try and, you know, they're about converting, and we need to understand, right, and I'm just going to be open and honest, we do not see them as, their organization as believers in Jesus Christ as the way the gospel has presented it. Oh, people didn't hear. She was, I'm sorry, for those that didn't hear, she was asking about the Jehovah Witnesses that had come to their door and how to deal with that. My first thing is you're not there discipling them. They're not coming looking for you to disciple them. They're trying to make converts to Jehovah. Now, if there is a time and a place where the Spirit leads you to be doing that, he will also show you how to do that. And if you're okay, I'm not going to take time to do that this morning. Is that okay?
By the way, that
was great answer. Yes, and yeah, I love her answer. Her answer to them when they asked what brought her joy, the Jehovah Witness that came to her door, she said, "My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ," and it surprised them. So, yeah, that is there is Holy Spirit speaking to you right there and then, and it set them back, right? Yeah, that's right. Okay, so this is what I want you to do now. We're going to get you to move. I want you to find one partner, a person here. I want guys with guys, gals with gals, and I want you to move away from people you normally talk to. If they're, you know, if they're part of your home group, find somebody else. Okay? All I want you to do is to do that. So I want two people together and to move and to find that, and I'm going to get you to get out of your chairs and move. Find a different spot. All right. Give you just a second to finish up your thought. So how was that? A little uncomfortable. I mean, I know some of you know each other, but once you got into it, how were the questions? How were the answers? Oh, dear. Well, here's the joy of it. You just experienced the first bit of being a discipler. Breaking past that initial uncomfortableness into conversation. And how many of you enjoyed yourself, except for Merlin and Joanne, or Merlin and Dawn? Did you enjoy yourself? Yeah. And so part of it is that, too, that we will enjoy this opportunity to get together with one another. This is just the beginning. There's a part two next week. We're going to give you some more tools and talk about the actual discipleship plan that we have, the notes and all of that. We'll give you an opportunity to look at some of that. All right. Father, we come before you. We thank you again that we have this wonderful call in our lives to disciple. And Jesus, like you said, you are always with us in all of it. Holy Spirit, you are always with us, guiding us and bringing us into revelation. Father, we thank you as we prepare the nursery that the harvest is ready. It is ripe and ready to come in. And so again, Lord, not only are we going to be ready to receive them, but I just pray that you stir in our hearts those that we want to share you with outside of discipling and lead to you. We want you blessed. We want you glorified. We want you honored and lifted high. And we thank you that you've done that in each of our lives and that you will continue to be just our center and our focus. We give you glory, praise, and honor in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, bless you guys. Have a coffee, and we'll be back in about 14 minutes.